Good morning, brothers and sisters. Turn to somebody around you, high five them in the name of Jesus. What a beautiful day it is today. Vir die van julle wat vir die eerste keer terug is in 'n paar weke, ek was al terug gewees hierso van verlof af. So, moenie jewels op my trek nie en kom hier, Harry Holiday and 7 weeks leave. And Louis saying I've had leave for 2 years. Ek was net 3 sondae het ek nie gepreek nie. So that means that you miss me. Hallelujah. Thanks. Yes, good one. Just kidding. Don't have to defend yourself. Yeah. No, I miss church. I miss being away. You miss the fellowship. You really do, you know. Listening to the people. Even listening to the people's complaints. Just, you know, sometimes you don't have, a lot of the times you don't have answers. But just be there for each other. Just be there for each other. What an interesting and challenging message that I have this morning. You know, folks, how many of you can say and agree that we're living in challenging times? It's not easy. It never has been easy being a Christian, but believe you me, in the year 2022, we're realizing that more and more and more. I want to speak this morning about something that I've just called recognizing God's ways. Sometimes when people have disguises, you don't recognize them. We see that in nature, mankind has learned that from nature, creatures in the wild disguise themselves by blending in with their backgrounds. I remember the first time in the flesh I saw a stick insect. It just looked like a piece, like a stick. Meantime, it's an insect and this thing walks. It's incredible. It's fascinating, you know. So, yeah. In the recognizing God's way, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where God is working in a way which we do not recognize. I want to start by reading Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9. God says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts." How many of you have experienced that, eh? Says the Lord. "And my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Father, we thank you that we have the privilege on this beautiful, beautiful day, in this beautiful atmosphere, this beautiful environment, and with each other as brothers and sisters of the Most High God, to experience you, to enjoy you, to sit around your word and so freely discuss it. Thank you that we're comfortable here. And Lord, thank you that even though our lives are full of challenges and difficulties and we're going through things in our hearts, that we can come into your presence and just be ourselves. Lord, no matter what face we put on or mask we carry or wear, you see us to the depth of our hearts. And you love us, Lord. Minister your life into our hearts this morning. Move beyond the limitations of my speech and give to each one of us exactly what we need to hear from you this morning to the praise and glory of your name. And the people of the Most High God said, amen. So God says his thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. That means God has something good in store for us, brothers and sisters. God has something good in store for us. When I look at the realities of what we're facing today, when I listen to the struggles that business people go through, mense, ek haal my hoed af vir besigheidsmense, hoor. How many of you are business people in the church this morning that own your own businesses? Can I see a show of hands? Difficult is not the word. And the crazy thing is, you see some businesses closing their doors, and yet at the same time, some businesses are flourishing. How does that work? Mense, ek weet nie. Ek het nie die antwoorde vir hierdie goeters nie. I don't know. Sometimes there are things, you know, if you memorize a scripture or two, you think you can answer everything with a scripture. Well, sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we don't have an answer. And for the way in which God works, folks, sometimes Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord. That which has been revealed to us is for us and to our children, but the secret things belong to the Lord. Sometimes there's things that God just does not show us because he knows better. And it's like that. There comes a time in our lives when we're expecting God to answer our prayers in a certain way. I remember before I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was born again, but I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't receive my heavenly language, and I didn't get full to the point where it was overflowing. I would long to hear God's voice, and pray. And you hear these people, you know, God said this, and I said that, and the Lord said this. And it's like, wow. And I read it in the Bible. And sometimes we speak evangelistically a little bit and stretch the truth a little bit. But folks, if we're in a relationship with a God that we never hear, why are we in a relationship with Him? If, with a God that we never hear, or you perceive, or you have found. I know of 8 different ways in which the Lord can speak, and He always speaks in more than one way to you. But God speaks in different ways, and we've said, God works in mysterious ways. But I wanted to hear the voice of the Lord, and I thought, God's going to speak to me like this. If you've heard this before, you can laugh again, okay? I thought, I'm going to hear this, Mozzie. This is your Father speaking. And the wind would blow and the curtains would move. And it's like, yes, Lord, speak, your servant hears. Never. You know, when parents are disciplining their children, they tell their children, Jannie, maak skoon jou kamer asseblief. Ja, pa, gaan dit doen. Jannie doesn't do it. Then it's, Jannie, maak skoon jou kamer asseblief. Ja, pa, gaan dit doen. And he still doesn't do it. Then it's, Jannie, maak skoon jou kamer. Is dit nie so nie? Ouers, is ek reg? With God, sometimes it's like this. Mozzie, repent. Yes, Lord, I will. I'm just a bit busy now. The next time it's, Mozzie, repent. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. The next time it's, like that with God. He speaks, doesn't need to raise his voice, doesn't need to put more emphasis, because my brother, my sister, delayed obedience is disobedience. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations, you're expecting God to answer your prayers in a certain way. Lord, let this happen. And you want it to happen like that. You think, you know what? This praying stuff, it just doesn't work for me. God's just not answering my prayers. God's ways are higher than your ways, my brother, my sister. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You see, what one of the things that will help us understand this and get this morning is that God is always up to something, and it's always up to something good. How many? Romans 8 and verse 28 says, all things work together for the good. How many things? How many things? How many things? When you take the ingredients of a cake, I don't know what they are, but it's milk, and it's sugar, and it's eggs, and it's flour, and it's, yeah. How much baking powder must you put in? Somebody help me, please. A teaspoon. Take a teaspoon of baking powder and shove it in your pie hole. And what else? What are the other ingredients? Take like 6 raw eggs and just put them all in your mouth at once. You want to call Ralph and George? Ralph, George. You take those individual ingredients that werk net nie. But folks, mix it together. Mix it together, and then something happens. And you eat it, it's like, smaak my engel het op my tong gepiepie. Something happens when it happens together. You don't understand it. And guys, listen, folks, let's get this straight. If I, with my little pea brain, can fully understand God, I need a bigger God. And so far as vragtig, I need a bigger God. If I can understand this amazing heavenly Father who thinks things into existence, who's so creative that every single person's fingerprint is different, every single person's DNA is different. Do you know what? Every snowflake that has ever fallen does not look like any other snowflake. If I can fully understand that God, I need a bigger God. So surely to goodness, somebody once challenged atheists with this example. They were having like a conference and a seminar discussing whether God is real. And he drew a massive circle on the board. And he said, if this represents everything that we know, everything that we know, all the knowledge that man can attain, all the wisdom in all the fields of life, philosophy, science, medicine, the universe, everything. If all of the knowledge that man can acquire is in this circle, how much of that knowledge do we possess as mankind? And they said, no, a small little bit. And he marked off a little section of the circle, just a little bit there. So he says, okay, if that represents all that there is to know that we as mankind know today. Man, ons het nie eers 'n oplossing for the common cold. We don't have an answer for the common cold. No matter how full the pharmacy racks are, people still get the common cold. We have ideas as to how and why it comes about, and I have my idea that I've learned as to how it comes about, but if all that we know is in just that little bit of that circle, is it possible that God exists on the other side of what we know in that circle? Needless to say, the atheists had nothing to say. Because if that's all that we know, surely it's possible that God exists on the other side of that. And then when God starts working, this amazing Father, the living God, when He starts to work, and if I don't recognize it, how can I think that God's not working in my life? There comes a time when He'll work in a way which we do not understand, people. We end up not recognizing His answer because our expectations are different. And here are some examples. This case is Elijah experiences a major, major breakthrough in ministry, an incredible victory. He gets fed up with all the false prophets of Baal and stuff like that. And they have a showdown at high noon, like in the Westerns. And they stand in the street and they face each other down and they move aside and get ready to draw their gun. And how many of you can relate to what I'm saying? Come on, man. Those Western movies are all my lacquer, eh? And Baal says, right, Elijah says, right, today we're going to see whose God is real. He says, let's make this altar here. The one who can call down fire and light this altar, that person serves the real God. So the Baal's worshippers, they get together, they prepare the altar, and they chant, and they rant, and they rave, and they cut themselves, and they dance, and they hoo-ah, and booyah, and whatever, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Elijah says, right, I'm going to call on my God now. But he says, you know what? Wet the sacrifice. Make the sacrifice wet. Cut a channel around the sacrifice. Fill it with water. And it was completely saturated. And he called down fire. Fire came down, burnt the offering, and burnt up 400 and plenty of all of the prophets of Baal. And all dead. This experiences this major victory. Huge success. And here comes along little Mrs. Jezebel and sends out a threat and says that, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. Yeah, Elijah flees. Palegas, he runs for his life. Now, he's on the run. That's the background. He's running now after this, major ministry success. How many times have you experienced it in life? Something lacquer happens, a breakthrough, an unexpected bonus, a 13th check, a 14th check, or a breakthrough, a gift, or a huge bargain, or a deal, and you're feeling lacquer, and all of a sudden, what happens? Life. Life happens. Now, funny. That happens just like that. This is the scenario. So Elijah's on the run. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 to 13. And then he came to a cave. He's on the run. And we spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Say, hey, it's like God saying, hey, bro, what maak jy, man? Wat gaat hier aan? What's happened to our connection? What are you doing here? And Elijah replied, he has a little bit of a pity party. Don't raise your hands if you've been there. He says, like, Lord, I've done all of this. I've done all of it. I feel like I'm on my own. It feels like nobody's supporting me, Lord. I'm on my own, yeah. Maybe you're working at a company of Vaxpack and you think, yes, there's a klomp hierdie hier, so I just wish I could get a job where there's more of a Christian environment. Well, maybe God has placed you there to make a difference, my brother, my sister. For you to be the light in the darkness. I'm just saying. Elijah says, he says, I've zealously torn down your, I've zealously served the Lord your God, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left. I feel on my own, Lord, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me in the mountain, the Lord told him. God says, right, I'm going to show you a thing or two now, my boy. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. Now, I've seen tornadoes do stuff, but imagine that the wind blows so hard that it tears rocks out of mountains. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Okay, Lord, ek sien kans vir nog 'n dag. I've heard the voice of God. God is still there. God is still real. I'm on the run. They've torn down God's altars. They've murdered all the prophets. I'm the only one that's left. But God has spoken. You see, God wasn't in the mighty wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He was in the still, small voice. My brother, my sister, what way is God speaking to you? Have you listened? It might not be an audible voice. It's seldom that God speaks like that. He does. He does speak like that. But it's seldom, you know. God might not be in the mighty wind, in the mighty earthquake, in the fire, in the small, subtle ways that you might not be seeing. Is God speaking to you in a way that you perhaps not recognize? Nahum had an expectation of how he was to be healed. Nahum was a man of stature and a man of good rapport and had achieved a thing or two in his life. You can read up as to what he did. But in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9 to 11, he was greatly used, but he had one issue, leprosy. Now, leprosy is a type, or can be said, it's not a strict typology, but it's a kind of sin. It's a kind of issue, like there's like a hang-up. You know, you're serving the Lord, you're being faithful, you're testifying, you're faithful in your finances, you praise the Lord, you're doing everything you can, but there's that like little thing that you haven't yet let go of. And you know, in Christian circles, we're so quick to point fingers at somebody that takes a puff. What about the gossipers that sit on the inside of the church, that talk behind each other's back? You know, Proverbs chapter 6 speaks about a list of things that it's an abomination to God. In other words, it doesn't get any worse for God than this. You know, it doesn't mention on their adultery, murder. You know what it mentions? Those who sow discord amongst the brethren, who bring division. That's on God's list. So maybe there's something that you're hanging on. We see the obvious things are a little bit of a sharpie here and there. What about the gossiping? What about the bitterness and unforgiveness? What about racial prejudice in my heart? Wat van hoogmoed? I'm the pastor. Hallelujah. What nonsense is that, man? What nonsense is that? So moet ons nie blind staar en goed wat ons maklik raak sien? What about the hidden things? The hidden things. You know? Okay. So where was I? Yeah. So this Naaman achieved some things, but he had some leprosy. Now, leprosy is like a type of sin. Okay? It represents like, okay, there's something here. 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 9 to 11. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house because he came to hear that, listen, you're sick. And they said, you know, if only you can get in touch with this man of God. This man of God is Elisha, not Elijah. Elijah had been raptured. He'd been taken up in the chariots. Yeah, he'd been raptured. Chariots came and got him. And Elisha takes over his ministry. But Elisha sent a message out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. And verse 11 says, but Naaman became angry and stalked away. I'm sure it's walked away. How does it get stalked away? Does it say stalked away in the NLT? He stalked away. Okay, so he moved. Yeah, he moved. And he said, I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. I expected, everybody say expected. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call in the name of his God and heal me. Like, hallelujah, he expected this charismatic move, this prophet to do this thing. Meantime, the prophet doesn't even come and says, tell the oak to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River. You read further on and he goes and complains. He says, surely the rivers of Wales, where he mentions the place where he comes from, surely those rivers are better, the water's cleaner. God says, no. Gaan was yourself 7 keer in die reuel besoedelde rivier van die Vaal. So you have this expectancy that God's going to do this. And God says, no. Guys and ladies, I submit to you, surely it must have been very humbling for this Naaman. I mean, he was a dude, eh? To go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. What? That's like undignifying, Lord. That's humiliating. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways above our ways. And the prophet, it's like the messenger of God tells him, no, go and wash yourself in the river, man. Okay? It must have been very humbling for him. So, and he got healed. He went and done it. He got healed. But what were the keys? The fact that he went to the Jordan River? No. The fact that he had to humble himself and he had to be obedient. Two ingredients, humility and obedience. Is there perhaps pride and disobedience that's keeping you out of the next breakthrough that God wants to give you in your life? Because you're not recognizing God's ways. If you're sitting here this morning, what has God been saying to you? The changes that you must make, that you perhaps not receiving that. Remember, and this has nothing to do with racism or anything like that. I'm not a racist. I know nothing about horse racing. But I've seen this on TV where a guy, some of you didn't get that. Come see me afterwards and I'll explain. But he's saying, there was a time when the management of Eskom received warnings. Guys, you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. You need to do that. A little doverige kop. Talk to the hand. The ears ain't listening. Kijk waar sit ons vandag. They received the warnings. And this guy on TV got up. He said, maybe we did not receive what the people had to say at the time because of where it was coming from. We had an issue with their skin color. That's why we didn't apply. That's why we're sitting with a mess that we have today. God help us fix that. I don't know what it's going to take. It's going to take a miracle. I don't know what it's going to take. 1.7 trillion, it's guesstimated, and a separate independent umbrella team of management to get us out of that mess. But yeah, maybe we're not recognizing what God is saying to us because we do not like who's saying it, the way it's being said, when it's being said. I don't know. I don't know. Another example. Jesus tells the people that they can recognize the weather, but not the signs of the times. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. One day the Pharisees and Sadducees and the couldn't sees and the wouldn't sees and the refused to sees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven. Let's just stop there. Think about that. They come to Jesus and they demand what? First of all, they demand. Second of all, a miraculous sign where? From heaven. Yes, God himself, yalla, in their midst. And they're saying, we want a miraculous sign from heaven. Yo, is the virgin birth not enough? Is his baptism in the water and the Holy Spirit, baptism, Holy Spirit, is that not enough? Is the time and the place of his birth being fulfilled according to the prophecies, is that also not enough? They've done a statistical analysis on what the statistical possibilities are of Jesus fulfilling the prophecies that he has. And guys, it's like 0,0000. I don't know how many zeros that it can be anything but divine circumstances that Jesus has fulfilled the prophecies that he has. And yet they say, we demand a miraculous sign from heaven. The audacity of it. That's what they say. To show us your authority, they wanted to know. And verse 2 of Matthew 16, he replied, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means bad weather all day, foul weather. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Folks, you know, this was ministering to me so much as I was preparing this. What am I missing here in South Africa, Lord? Am I so busy complaining and moaning and groaning? The signs of the times in South Africa, what is there that I'm missing? Is there something that I'm missing? Me as a son of God, a child of the Most High God, during these difficult, challenging times in South Africa, here and now, Lord, what is it that I am missing? Help me see. Help me see. He says, you can recognize these things in the weather, but you don't recognize the signs of the times. So in what ways could God be speaking to his church in South Africa that we're not recognizing? What way? Is it, if you look at the way God has used godless, unholy, evil leaders in the past to teach his people stuff through the scriptures, is it possible that God could be using the government of the day to teach his church something? Is it possible, folks? I'm just asking. You know that the scripture says that all authority is from God, even though it's not exercised in a godly way. That platform of authority has been created and established by God. How these things come to pass, that people get elected, I don't know. All I know is what the Bible says, that all authority is from God. Now listen, I'm most certainly not saying that every leader is of God. Huge difference. Huge difference. So is there a possibility that God could be using the circumstances in South Africa to speak to us in ways that we are not recognizing? Surely to goodness, God must be, surely to goodness, he has not forgotten South Africa. You say, oh, that God-forsaken place. No, there's no such place that's God-forsaken. There's people that have forsaken God. What a difference. There's people that have forsaken God. There's no God-forsaken place. You know, we look forward to, like, yeah, heaven. One day when I get to heaven, one day when I get to heaven. For those of you that know your Bible, where's heaven going to be? Here. Read your Bible. New heavens and a new earth. Where's it going to be? Here. Why? Because this one's second hand. It's used. God's not into second, third, best. He's going to give a splinter, never alles. Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. So in what ways could God be working? Luke 19 and verse 44. Jesus warns him, tells him, listen, the governments, the leaders are going to do this. Why? They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. You did not recognize it. You come up for prayer or you ask somebody, God, pray for me, pray for this, pray for that. And the intercessors, people start praying, standing in the gap. And God starts working and you wonder, yo, what's going on now? Because we perhaps do not recognize God's ways. There's a typo in the notes. Care group leaders, I'll send an updated one. I typed here, can will sometimes. Not can will sometimes, eh? God will sometimes use the most unlikely people and unlikely circumstances to speak into our lives. The most unlikely people. You know, sometimes you look at people and you think, this year's here, Leonis. Who are you when you're alone? Don't underestimate the God that lives inside them. Sometimes God will use the most unlikely people and unlikely circumstances to speak into our lives. And what will help us, as I said earlier, what will help us understand this is if we know that God is always up to something and he always wants us to grow and to become like Jesus. John 12, verse 28 to 29. Father, bring glory to your name. And then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I've already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. In verse 29 of John 12. And when the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. One voice was heard. Some people thought it to be thunder, other people thought it to be an angel, not recognizing how God is speaking. So what are we to do then in order to recognize God's ways? Well, thanks, Moz, for bringing this to my attention this morning. But what do I do now? What do I do if I cannot recognize what God is busy doing in my life? And I cannot recognize his ways. What must I do? Well, in order for us to recognize God's ways, recognize his voice, and recognize his timing in our lives, the key is to have a change of mind and a shift in our hearts. Or a shift in our mind and a change of our hearts. Romans 12 and verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. So many Christians do that. Now, you know, I must do this to fit in. I must act like that. I must dress like this. I must do this so that I can fit in with the people that I'm ministering. And eventually they fit in so deeply that you cannot differentiate between them and the people that they're fitting in with. But we're called to be different. One of the meanings of the word holy means different. We're called to be different. So, don't copy the behavior and outcomes of this world and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How does it work that a little so-and-so like me can get up on Sunday for 30 minutes, speak to people about the Word of God and expect it to be changed? I can't change anything or anybody. I can't. But the Word of God. Folks, how does it work? It's when we go home, outside, there's a sign on that fountain. Who knows what that sign says? That sign was in the previous building. Who can tell me what that sign says? I'm seriously impressed. Well done. Give yourselves a round of applause. Well done. Bless you guys. Be the change you want to see. You know what is going to happen? I've got to sit here and I've got to, first of all, I've got to let the message that I preach that God gives me, I need to apply to my life. It's got to minister to me. I've got to minister to myself. Say, okay, what do I do there? I say, take it. Say, okay, Lord, how's this applicable to me? Not like, oh, I wish, yes, if only so-and-so was here to hear this message. They're missing out on a prayer for Mozzie for Auckland. Word. No, they're not here. You are. You are. Say, Lord, how can I apply this to my life? Apply it. Say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let this word change my life. I'm going to let it change my mind. Let the Word of God change the way I think. When it changes the way I think, it's going to change the way I act. And then my life is going to start to change. Where is the battle won or lost? Grab your left earlobe and your right earlobe. And that's between there. Okay, shake your head like this. How many of you heard something? Did you hear something? I always knew your heads were empty. Either way, I'm going to catch you. How many of you did hear something? So either way, if you say, I heard nothing, you say, yeah, your head is empty. If you say, I heard something, you say, yeah, these things are loose upstairs there. So either way, you snook it. But folks, it's there. We laugh about it, we joke, but it's here. The mind, the battlefield of the enemy. It's there where the Word of God is rendered powerless or all-powerful. Powerless or all-powerful. All-powerful, whether I apply it to my life. So, let God change the way we think. And it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you. Then we will see His ways, recognize His voice, recognize His timing. You will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And when it comes to Christ's mind and our mind, how does that work? Last scripture and I'm done. I want the deep end to get ready to lead us in a time of worship again, please. God's mind and our Lord, if your ways are higher than my way, how do I fix that? How do I address that? Well, folks, we need to rely, as always, on the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit to bring about that change in our lives. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. As we pray together this morning, as you sit there, my brother, my sister, you reflect on where you're at in your life. Maybe there's a situation where you say, yo, Mozzie, I'm not recognizing and understanding the way God is working. And you need a change of your mind and change the way you think and understand things. Let's pray for each other this morning as we sit here. You want to say, Lord, there's things and circumstances happening in my life that I just don't get it, Lord. I don't understand. And I ask for wisdom and I ask for discernment. Help me to see the work of your hand in and around my life. Lord, I understand that your ways are higher than mine, but give me a deeper glimpse into the things of the Spirit. Give me a deeper understanding in my heart. Holy Spirit, change my mind. Help me to change my mind for the good. Help me to see and recognize your plan for my life. And Lord, I'm not asking you to stop the storm. I'm asking you to teach me to dance in the rain, Lord. To understand what it is that you're doing in my life, that I can embrace the good and the bad, the easy and the difficult, that I can celebrate the good and the bad. Help me, Lord. Help me to recognize your voice. Lord, as we have prayed this morning, I pray for us as a family of God, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Help us to recognize your ways. Recognize your hand upon our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And as we venture out into this week, Lord God, may we see how you're working in our hearts and in our minds to the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Family, thank you for making the time to come this morning.